to love the Lord Jesus Christ is the great passion of life. To love God with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our strength, with all our being. To love Him. Let's turn to John's Gospel and chapter 6. I wonder why you are here. Not here specifically at this church, but I wonder why you go to church. Perhaps you're somebody who doesn't very often. But now you have. And the question is this, and this is the question that comes in this passage. What is it you're after? What is it you are seeking for? What is it you want? Again, not why are you at this particular meeting at this particular time, but when you think of church, when you think of the scriptures, when you think of the Christian faith, what is it that we want? What is it that we desire? What is it that we seek after? And in many ways, it's a question, as is happening here in John chapter 6, to ask perhaps of somebody who wants to find out about the Christian faith, who is not yet believing and wants to know whether they should, what it's all about. But also for those who do know the Lord Jesus and perhaps have been following Him and are wanting to serve Him for a long time. And perhaps you might ask the question in a slightly different way. What motivates you in the Christian life? What is it that we really desire? That we really want? Well, that's a question that's asked and answered here in this passage. We started reading from verse 22. John chapter 6, it begins with the story of how Jesus performs this amazing miracle when he feeds a whole group of people. 5,000 people, 5,000 men and others with them. At the end of the day, Jesus sends his disciples back home across the sea to Capernaum in their boat, while he goes up a mountain by himself to get away from things, to pray. What we learn in verse 22 is that the crowd don't know where he's gone. So when we looked at that passage of how Jesus came to them, to his disciples, in the middle of the night, walking on the water, verse 19 particularly. Well, the crowd who had been there and are still there do not know where he's gone. They do know that Jesus did not get into the boat with the disciples. So in verse 22, they saw the end of the verse that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, that his disciples had gone away alone. So what are they thinking? Well, the disciples have gone, they've crossed the lake, they've gone back to Capernaum, Jesus is still here. Jesus is still here with us. Where is he? So they are looking for him. They're searching for him. Remember, this vast crowd have come miles all the way round the top of the Sea of Galilee to find him originally. And so they're still looking for him. He's disappeared and they're looking for him. Now, in the end, they give up. They can't find him. So we're told that in verse 23, other boats from Tiberias, from the area they've come from, other boats come along, and many of them pile into these boats and they sail back across the sea to Capernaum. And verse 24 tells us, summarizes that, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boat and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Okay, so that's what the crowd are doing here. They are seeking Jesus. They are chasing hard to find him. They've gone miles originally round the top of the lake to find him. Now they've lost him again and they've got into these boats and they've gone back to Capernaum. And they are seeking him. Verse 25 tells us that they find him. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, and they're confused. They've been talking about this. Where did he go? What's happened to him? Rabbi, when did you come here? They know he didn't get into a boat. It's a long way to walk round, especially at night. Rabbi, when did you come here? How did you get here so quickly? Why are they seeking him? That's the question. Why are they seeking after Jesus? Well, there's two possible answers to that. Two different directions, two different sets of reasons. Why are they seeking Jesus? Well, Jesus says to them, truly I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now, it's actually a bit difficult to work out what the difference there is. Because in a sense, when he says you ate your fill of the loaves, he's really saying because you saw miracles. It's not that they're seeking him because they're saying, wow, that's bread. We are not going to any baker again because we're going to follow him and eat his bread. So it's not just about the bread that they've eaten and how tasty that bread was. What's the difference between seeking him because they saw the signs and seeking him because they ate the bread? But the difference, I think, is this. Signs point to meaning. So if you're driving somewhere, what do you see when you see a sign? In one sense, you don't see anything, do you? You drive along and you see a sign saying Kirby, Lesoken, 2 miles. You don't look at the sign and say, wow, that is Kirby, Lesoken. Kirby Lesoken still 2 miles away. The sign points to the place. When you see a sign for a restaurant, an advertisement for a restaurant, you don't go up to the sign and sit down under the sign as if somehow there's going to be wonderful food from the sign. The sign reminds you of that restaurant so that you'll go, hopefully, go to the restaurant and eat their delicious food. The sign points to something. When he says, you are seeking me not because you saw the sign, what he's saying is this. You're not seeking me because you realized what my signs say about me. So the signs, the miracles Jesus is doing is pointing to who he is. Is pointing to what he can do. So they're not asking the question, we've seen this amazing miracle, what does this miracle tell us about who Jesus is? That's not the question they're asking. The miracles that Jesus does, the signs he performs, are pointers to him, to who he is. No, rather, what they are seeking is what they can get from him. What they are seeking is what they want from him. They want miracles. Think of what's been happening. Everybody's been bringing sick people to him, and he's been healing them. This is a great guy to have around. They were hungry, and he is able out of nothing to provide bread. He is an amazing miracle worker who can do great things. Well, that's the one we want. That's why earlier in the chapter, verse 15 tells us that they were about to come and take him by force and make him king. That's the sort of king they want. A powerful king, a miracle-working king, a king who gives them all these great things. So why are they seeking Jesus? Is it because they've come to understand who he is, the reality of who he is, and the reality of what he gives? Or are they coming to Jesus, are they seeking Jesus because of what they already want from him? They're not really interested in what he gives to them. They're not interested, really, in what he is saying about himself. They've already decided what they think about him, and they like him. They want more of what he's given them already. So they see the signs, they see the miracles, not as pointing to something else, but they simply want the miracles themselves. It's like going on holiday and wanting to visit all sorts of places, but rather than actually going there, what you do is you find a sign pointing to that place, you unscrew it, put it in your car, and go home. Now, that's not going to those places. The signs point to who Jesus is. And there are lots of reasons why people might seek Jesus. Lots of different things that might motivate us. And again, as we said at the beginning, it's true for those who are not yet believing in Jesus. What is it that they want? What is it that you want from him? But it's also true for us, for those who do believe and trust in Jesus. What motivates us? What do we want? What are we seeking after? What are we really wanting in our Christian life and Christian faith and Christian experience? Is it that there might be some who what really motivates them is things like miracles. and external things like that. That they don't see through the sign to the reality, but they get excited about the signs themselves, the miracles themselves. Now, for some, in some churches, it's about material things. There are those who will teach that if you are faithful to God, then he will bless you financially. And for many, that's attractive. What is it that motivates us? What is it that upsets us if we don't get it? So that's the question that's being framed here. Not just in this passage, these few verses we're looking at, but in the whole chapter. What is it? What is our motivation? What is it that we want from Jesus? Well, it brings us on to how Jesus answers them. So remember the question, Rabbi, when did you get here? That's where they're coming from. That's what they want to know. How do you get here? He goes right to the nub of the matter. Verse 26, look at verse 26. Truly I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Now, we've already looked at that. But this is how he continues in verse 27. Do not labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Four elements to that verse. Firstly, do not labor for the food that perishes. He's still using the picture, the illustration of the miracle that's taken place, the food that they've eaten. But it's not just about food, it's not just about bread. What he's saying is this. Do not expend all your passion and emotional energy on things that are temporary and passing and will in the end not satisfy you. And there are so many different ways in which we can do that. And more in the world today. For some, it's easy to get caught up in entertainment, in just seeking entertainment and pleasure. But however much you seek it, it will in the end never satisfy. You will always want more and more and more and more. There's nothing wrong with pleasure and entertainment. They're great things. We are to take pleasure and take delight in all the good things that God has given to us. But not as if those things will satisfy us. They do not satisfy us. What is our passion in this world? It will not satisfy. It may be a great source of blessing. And there are many great things that we can get involved in and seek after and do in this world. But always remembering that none of those things will satisfy us in the end. So, do not labor. Do not give your heart to all these other things that will not satisfy. That's the first part of this verse. Secondly, labor for the food that endures to eternal life. Labor for the food that endures to eternal life. That's what we are to seek after. Now the question here is, what does that mean? What does it mean to labor for the food that endures to eternal life? Well, that's the question, but I'd like to ask you just to hold for a minute. Hang on to that question. We're coming back to it. The third element of this verse, in verse 27 again, do not labor, as we've said, labor for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. This true food that endures to eternal life, Jesus gives. The true food, Jesus gives. Still, we're holding on to that question. What is that food? What does it mean to labor for the food that endures to eternal life, that Jesus gives? Well, just before we get there, one last point and aspect of this verse, verse 27. On him, God the Father has set his seal. What does that mean? God has said about Jesus, this is my son. This, he says, is the one to whom you should listen. God has set his seal upon Jesus. Who is God? Well, God has said, look at Jesus. It is Jesus who will tell you about God. How can we know God? Well, God has said, look to him, my son. God has pointed us to Jesus. So, back to our question. What does it mean to labor for the food that endures to eternal life? And the answer is in the next few verses. They say to him, verse 28, what must we do to be doing the works of God? They ask the question. If we are to labor for the food that endures to eternal life, if we're to work for it and chase after it and seek it, well, they say, what works should we do? That's the idea they've got. He's saying labor for the food that endures to eternal life, and they're saying, what works? How? What do we do? What works do we have to do to please God, to get eternal life? That's the question. And the answer is in verse 29. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. How do you labor for the food that endures to eternal life? What are the great works I have to do? Well, it's very, very simple. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work. Now, if you've gone to church like this for a while, this may be an obvious answer, something you're familiar with. But remember, for those he's talking to, for those who have grown up as religious people, who is all about keeping the law and pleasing God and trying hard to please God, this is a mind-blowing idea. The great work, the great thing you have to do is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Now,
what it means is on the one hand, to believe what he says. To listen to him. But more than just believing what he says, it means putting your trust in him. Relying on him, coming to him. Believing that what he says is true, and putting our trust in it. This is the great work, to receive the life that he gives. What does it mean to eat the food, to labor for the food that endures to eternal life? And this is the question of the rest of the chapter. What is that food that endures to eternal life? Well, look down just a few verses to verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall not thirst." Jesus has performed a miracle of giving them bread to eat, with one goal in mind: that they might come to realize that he is the true bread that they have to eat. He is the true bread. Now, think of it this way. The Christian life isn't really about all the blessings that we get from God. They are important. But the Christian life is about God himself. The Christian life isn't simply about all that Jesus does for me, although he does a huge amount. But it's about who he is. Jesus himself, he is the bread of life. What does it mean to do the works of God? It means to come to the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in him, and to trust in him. What does it mean to live out the Christian life? Day by day, week by week, year by year. Well, it's the same thing. It means to come to the Lord Jesus as the bread of life and to feed on him. To feed on his goodness, his kindness, his love. To feed on his grace towards us. To feed on all that he has done for us in the cross. It means to come to the Lord Jesus day by day and just be amazed at how much he has loved us by dying for us to forgive us our sins. Do we see how deep and wonderful is his love? How deep the depths that he had to go to forgive our sins, to feed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life, the bread that God gives, means to come to him and to delight in him and to rejoice in him and to see in him all his goodness and all his kindness and all his love. And to walk with him and to follow him and to seek to be like him. Verse 35 says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Verse 41, he says this, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. To eat the living bread means to come to the Lord Jesus and to trust in him and to delight in him and to rejoice in him. To worship him. He is the bread of heaven. He is the one who gives life. Let us come to him. Let us draw near and receive life in him. Amen.